living, and we are simply here because of God. Amen. You know, God designed this day, and He chose our names to continue to be a part of life, and for that, I am thankful. Amen. And boy, I see a lot of people here. Amen. That means a lot of people made a good decision to come and assemble with God's holy people on God's holy day, that we may worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Now, who came up with this 8 o'clock service? Now, we don't get started the Bible class at 9:30, okay? All right. Amen. Amen. But I know Brother Gibbs has something to do with this. Amen. Amen. Brother Gibbs at Southwestern Christian College taught Life Teachings of Christ, and we had to be there on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning. How about that? It turned out to be one of my favorite classes. Amen. And was really blessed to be under his teachings, and so happy to see him and his beautiful family and to see how well they are doing. I know of his son, who's doing very well, and I thank God for his ministry. Very thankful to Brother Shaw, the leadership at this fine congregation. It's really good to be at Greenville Avenue. This is the church everybody talking about in Dallas. Amen. And one of the reasons is because you guys are doing what God has commanded you to do. You're following the word of God. And as Solomon would say, you're able to sit back and see the fruit of your labor. Amen. So what a fine congregation this is, and very thankful to be here on this morning. My family is with me, my children, my oldest daughter, Jasmine, Alex, Allen, Jalen, and Jordan is with me. All right. Unfortunately, my wife, Ebony, my new son, Elias, and my youngest son after him, Elijah, they were not able to make it. They'll be returning back to worship on next week, which will be the 6 weeks. And so we've been blessed with a brand new baby, and we ask for your prayers. Now, I see a lot of righteous people in here, so I know I'm going to be blessed with you guys' prayers. Amen. Well, this is Youth Sunday. Amen. And it is so good to see how many youth is in this building. Amen. And it takes me all the way back to find men of God who got started in my life as a youth, as I'm watching them work the table, the song leading and everything. It was so great to have somebody pushing you and encouraging you to do the work of the Lord. And so for you guys to put this day together, to allow them to lead and to help them, you know, they say that the youth is our tomorrow, but really they are today. And it's good because you guys put that into action. Amen. Well, we want to give a word on this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse number 12. I spotted some members from Singing Hills. I'm very, very thankful that they are here with us on today. And I told them that we were going to have a problem with our members being here, but they came anyway. Amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 4, single verse number 12. And the Bible states, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Because it's a single verse, allow me to read it again. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Well, what we have in such a powerful text of scripture, the Hebrew writer, the unknown writer, is giving us and blessing us with a word of God. And truly, in this one verse, he has blessed us to know that the word of God is quick and it is powerful. In other words, it's indicating to us that with the word quick that it gives life. And the word powerful, it gives us energy. And truly, on this great day, we all assemble so that we can get a word from God. And it's so good to know that we have young people who are being brought by their parents. Maybe the church van is picking them up. But whatever the case is, truly they are being pushed to be here on this great day, which is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, that we may honor our God, worship our God, and get a word from our God. The Hebrew writer wants us to know that the word of God is quick, and it is powerful. And true enough, it really is. For all of us who have believed and been buried in the watery grave of baptism, we were following in the plans of God's holy word. And truly, when we did this, church, we know that, listen, we were buried in the water. And true enough, the Bible teaches that as we came up, meaning that we rose with Christ, now we've received the Spirit of God. That will be the Holy Ghost. To help us to know his words, to continue in his words, where we need no man to teach us. Yet we are following in the Spirit of Almighty God. The Hebrew writer says, for the word of God is quick and it is powerful. Church, for the word, the word quick, once again, is Christ indicating that, listen, it gives us life. And that's what Christ come to do, is to give this dying generation life. And it also gives us energy. And church, I want you to know that, listen, we don't move on our own, but we're moving by the word of God. In other words, I wouldn't be here if it was not for Christ. Amen. I would not be here if it wasn't for Christ's word. Amen. And true enough, it's good that we have our young people who are being a part of what God has put together. In other words, what we have from God's word is something that comes all the way from heaven. And now we allowed our children to be a partaker of something that comes all the way from heaven. In other words, we find ourselves partakers of a lot of things. A lot of things that's going on in this world. And it's so good that we take some time out of our busy schedule, that we give God some time and be a partaker of his holiness, to be a part of something that comes all the way from heaven. And church, this is what we need. We need God in our life simply because we were dead in our sins. Follow with me real quickly to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and there we'll be looking at verse number 1 and some of the following verses. But Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, as we will allow the Bible to interpret itself, true enough, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." Speaking of Christ, Paul to the church of Ephesus, he says, "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience." Church, Paul was talking to all of us as he was talking to the church of Ephesus, indicating, as he told the church of Rome, listen, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Young people, we all have sinned and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Now listen, I want y'all to know that young people are very bright. Amen. Amen. They are some smart human beings. Amen. And they are learning so much from this world. And what, one thing they also know about this world, that this world is a sinful world. They know that at a young age, that this is a sinful world. So then they understand when the minister gets up and quotes Peter when he says, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." We need the children to save themselves from this perverse generation. That's why a day like this is very powerful, when it seems like the spotlight is on them, that they may know that, listen, we are giving a word to the youth, but they find out, that come to find out that, listen, this word is not just for them, but this word is for everybody. Amen. Why? Because Paul says that, listen, we at one point was dead in our trespasses. That takes us all the way to the very beginning in Genesis. with Adam and Eve when they ate of the forbidden fruit of the tree. And yet, church, I want you to know that, listen, God had given them everything. God had given them plenty. And I want you to know they could eat from any tree but that one tree. Sound like us today, doesn't it? Amen. Young people have found out how greedy this world is. Amen. Young people are tempted in some of these ways. And church, I want you to know that, listen, we failed then and we're still failing today. They needed God then and we still need God even today. And yet, I just want you to know, God have always been good to us. God have always given us plenty. And yet, God have given us some instructions on what to do and what not to do. And church, I want you to know that he told Adam and Eve all the way in the beginning of time to don't eat of that one tree, and they ate of that forbidden tree. Now, the Bible teaches us that they were told that if they eat of this tree, that they would die. We realize that they were physically still breathing after they ate of this tree. We realize they were still walking and talking after they ate of the forbidden fruit. So that doesn't mean God lied. It just means that God was indicating that they were not going to die physically, but they were going to die spiritually. What this means, young people, is that, listen, God separated himself from them. As the Bible would say in Romans 6, listen, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Meaning that, listen, the gift that God has given unto us, it is for life eternal, life everlasting, life forever and ever with Almighty God. Amen. So then, yes, they died when they ate of the forbidden fruit. And true enough, I just want you to know that they were classified as a dead man walking, a dead man breathing. That just means that, listen, when we are living in our sin, God sees us as dead. And that's why God had to send his son Jesus so that he could bring life for us that we may have it and have it more abundantly. Church, I want you to know that, listen, he indicated to us that we were dead men in our trespasses and we needed Jesus to bring a life unto us, and Jesus did just that. So the Hebrew writer says, for the word of God is quick and it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Church, I want you to know that the Hebrew writer simply indicated that, listen, the word, once it gets inside of you, is going to do what it's going to do. Amen. Now, that means that, listen, all we have to do is believe. Amen. Young people, all you have to do is believe. So then, with all of your challenges, and boy, do young people have a lot of challenges. Young people have more challenges today than we did 20 years ago. Young people have a lot of more challenges today. Amen. They have to be very careful with this internet. They have to be very careful with pornography. They have to be very careful with these bad movies. For the Bible teaches us that evil communications corrupts good manners, good morals. In other words, everything the parents have put inside of them, good parents we're speaking of, amen? Everything good parents have put inside of them, I want you to know Satan is just waiting to spend some time with your girl and your young boy to corrupt them from the good morals that you have placed inside of them. Amen. That's why it's good that you have brought them to the word, to the church of God, to the church of Christ. Why? Because now they're able to get a word from God. A word from God. A word that is powerful enough to reach every age, every gender, every culture. It is a word that is able to reach all of mankind. Yes, church, I want you to know that it can also bless your young people as well. Now, some parents did not bring their children because some parents don't believe that they're old enough. Or some parents believe that, listen, it's not that important. It's not really necessary yet. Not realizing that when they send them to the school, there's a word that they're receiving from the school. When they place them in front of that TV, there's a word that they're getting from that TV. Or when they allow them to listen to R&B music, there is a word that they're getting from Jay-Z. Church, I want you to know that they need to come to church so that they can get a word from God. And as parents, if we just be honest, amen. Because there is no perfect parents, amen. I'm going to say it again. There is no perfect parents, amen. If we just be honest, amen. They get a word from us as well, amen. And it ain't always a good word, amen. Why? Because we make mistakes too, amen. Young people, I'm here to tell you today that your parents make mistakes as well, amen. My children, they can testify that Brother Adams is a preacher, been in the pulpit for 11 years with Hills Church of Christ, and they can still tell you that Brother Adams is not a perfect parent, amen. In other words, they need Jesus because of me as well. I'm just trying to help somebody this morning, amen. Because I thought this was the pillar and the ground of the truth, amen. I thought this was the church that belongs to Christ, amen. In other words, the Jesus that says, I will give you the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what we need, amen, is to be set free from a lying world, a lying generation, amen. So that's why I'm very happy to be here, young people. And that's what motivated me to be always come to God's church, because I was able to come to the truth. I was able to find Jesus, and Jesus always knew who exactly I was. Isn't that beautiful, amen? Listen, from the early existence in my mother's womb, He already knew exactly who I was, amen. He designed me, He fashioned me, He molded me, and He made me, amen. And like Nicodemus, He wanted me to be born again, amen. In other words, not of the flesh, but of the spirit and of the water. Church, I want you to know that, listen, Jesus have always had a plan for Brother Adams, and young people, Jesus have a plan for you as well. So then, listen, the word of God is quick and it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, able to piercing even, dividing asunder, joint and marrow, soul. Church, I want you to know, and it is a discerner of the intent of the heart. That means that, listen, once the word comes inside of you, it becomes a judge. But it's a righteous judge. We're judged by a lot of people, amen. And yet the word of God has helped us to understand that, listen, no man can condemn us. Let me bless the young people right now. Because young people, they have a tough time with identity. They find themselves always trying to please people. Let me help you on this morning. Paul wanted the church to know this in Romans chapter 8, looking at verse number 1. Give for me Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Let's see. Do we have any readers in here? Any scripture readers, if we pop it up here, that's great too. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, Paul is helping us to know that, listen, no man can condemn you. Christ has helped us to know that as we have put Him on in baptism, that no man can condemn you. Nobody can determine your fate. Nobody can say what's going to happen to you. But yet, listen, I just want you to know, where no man can condemn, even Christ was not ordained to condemn. For the Bible says that, listen, Jesus didn't come that He might condemn, but He came that He might save. In other words, listen, even Jesus, who knows everything about Brother Adams, was not ordained to condemn me, but His mission and His purpose was to save my soul. So then, young people, listen, I understand that we are with this identity crisis we find ourselves in a lot of times. Well, our image of how we look, our appearance, our hairstyle, our fads, and all that good stuff, which is going to fade away too. Amen. I just want you to know that, listen, no man can condemn you. I can't condemn my children. I can't condemn anybody. I just want you to know that, listen, your fate is in the hands of Almighty God. And you have an opportunity today, with the power of choice. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. The power of choice. This is something that God has given all of us. Yes. The power of choice to make the right decision. Amen. Amen. Now, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go back to the beginning again, and that's with Cain and Abel. In the beginning, the first two brothers actually led to the first murder in all mankind. What a sad story that is. The first murder led the first murder took place in the first home, the first family of all mankind. And it was between two brothers, Cain and Abel. Just kind of show you how tough Satan is. Kind of show you how serious life has always been. I really enjoy going back to the beginning. I really enjoy teaching my kids. I love to take them back to the root. And here with Cain, Cain simply would not give God his first. He wouldn't put God first. But Abel would put God first. And Abel was blessed because Abel decided to put God first. But Cain was hurting because Cain would not put God first. Now, church, young people, I just want you to know that, listen, God visited with Cain. And he asked Cain, why has your countenance fallen? Why has your appearance fallen? Young people, I understand that you're about your appearance, and that's good, amen. Yeah, that's good. But I just want you to know that, listen, exercising is good, amen. Listen, eating right, it is good for the body, amen. Listen, but I want you to know that sinning is bad for the body, amen. Sinning is bad for your appearance, amen. Living for God is going to help you with your appearance, amen. And one of the things that God is going to teach you, young people, is and when it comes to your appearance, is to be patient. Simply be patient, amen. Let nature take its course. Let God be God, amen. In other words, why are you rushing? Why do you want to be grown so fast? Why are we moving so fast to be in the fast lane? I tell my young people all the time, just be young while you're young. Because after this, it's going to be over, amen. And you know, and it's amazing, the older you get, you keep looking back. You find yourself just looking back, amen. And so, young people, enjoy your age. Enjoy where you are. Be content and be satisfied with where you are right now. And allow God, with his holy nature, to allow you to grow each year. And watch how you're going to become a very beautiful, outstanding individual, amen. No reason to rush, amen. No reason to rush, amen. That's just fighting with God, and that is a battle that you will not win. We all found ourselves fighting with God, amen. And none of us have won that battle, amen. I mean, we try. We want a whole bunch of earrings in our ear, want an earring in our nose. We ain't tried it all. We try to color our hair. We ain't tried it all, amen. And I look at some of the pictures of when I was young, and oh man, okay. Them days of just rushing, I tell you, oh, man. I should have listened to the preacher, man. I don't know what I was thinking here. Okay, let's get rid of that picture. So God asked Cain, why have your countenance fallen? Why are you so wroth? In other words, Cain, why are you so angry? And, you know, God is basically asking this question in a way of saying, listen, you have me. You should be blessed. God talks to all of us this way with his word, amen. Don't y'all get that from the word of God, amen? That I should be happy right now, amen. I'm so blessed. Why am I so sad, amen? Why am I so depressed right now? I mean, I'm so young, and I'm full of energy, and I'm full of life, and I have so much in front of me. Why am I so hurt? I have God. I have everything. Why am I so angry? Why am I so depressed right now? Well, I just want you to know the reason, the answer to that question was because he would not serve God. Amen. That's what was missing in Cain's life, is that he would not serve God. He would not follow God's words, his instructions. So therefore, his countenance had fallen. He was wroth, meaning he was angry. And he tells him that, listen, Cain, if you follow me, would you not be accepted? Well, sin lieth at the door. In other words, Cain, you have a choice. Young people, you have a choice. And listen, God has given all of us in this building, all of us in this world, the power of choice. And you have a decision that you can make. Amen. And so we pray that you make the right decision. Amen. And what makes this day so beautiful is the fact that, listen, we're dealing with the witnessing to win. Witnessing to win. And what we want young people to do is we want young people to give to others what God has given unto you. Greenville is working very hard to say to the young people that, listen, God have blessed you. Now go and become a blessing to somebody else. Amen. According to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible teaches us, as Jesus getting ready to go back to heaven to sit on the right hand side of God, he says, listen, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost have come upon you, and ye shall be a witness of me. Listen, he says, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Church, I just want you to know that, listen, he was starting with 12 to go into all the world, to go into all nations, preaching and teaching and baptizing men and women, establishing the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Listen, this took place in AD 33 and is still going on in 2016. Church, I just want you to know that God has the power to give to us to become witnesses unto all this world. We are testimony unto this world. And God wants to even work with our young people to be a light into the world, to be a witness unto this world, to help save souls. Amen. But listen, if we don't have the word ourselves, how can we share the word with somebody else? So then, listen, the word, once it penetrates in you, young people, it's going to do what it's going to do. Amen. It's going to do what it's going to do. It's a discerner. And it deals with the intent of the heart. I mean, when God gets in you, when the word gets in you, oh, man, it'll bring tears. Even to our young people, amen. Oh, yeah, it'll bring tears to our young people. You know why? Because our young people have sinned as well. And so the word being a mirror, the word helping me to see Brother Adams, it brings tears. That's where you hear the word that it'll prick you. That's what it's talking about. According to Stephen, he says in Acts 7, it'll cut you. Yes. Oh, it will cut you. Amen. Yes. Yeah, it'll help you to see yourself. Yes. So sometimes when the word get in you, yes, you feel good. Amen. Amen. But sometimes you don't feel so good. Amen. Yeah, I know of a lot of churches that thinks that, listen, as soon as you walk in the door and you hear the word and you hear good singing, that we should be jumping up and down and, you know, just acting all silly and everything. And they're saying that this is a Holy Ghost party. Amen. We're losing a lot of young people from the Church of Christ because of this. Amen. A word that is classified as false. I'm not here to say that the word don't make you feel good. Amen. The word don't make you want to say mercy, Lord, or hallelujah. I'm not saying that. But I'm simply indicating that sometimes the word makes you feel good, and sometimes the word help you to see yourself. And when you see yourself, sometimes you ain't you know you really feel like saying hallelujah. Not quite a Holy Ghost party then, is it? Amen. But that's what the word of God is designed to do. Amen. It's to reach us. And the word of God is powerful enough to reach our young people as well. And so the word, once it gets inside of our young people, it becomes a judge. It becomes a judge. And man, out of all the judges in this world, I'm here to let you know you are allowing the perfect judge, the righteous judge, to enter inside of you, to help you with yourself. Oh, young people, we need our young people to get more involved with God's word, God's teachings. Even with the laboring of the church, we need more young people to get involved so that we can reach more people for Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's how did we get it? Amen. I always go back and I start thinking about the men and the women that helped me in this journey of Christ. I start naming off names. I start thinking of Sister Brown. She was the one that helped me to get to the youth conference. I start thinking of Brother Winston Jr., how he was right there in our youth ministry. I start thinking of Brother Sherman, who allowed me to do the centering of the table. I start thinking of Ben Foster, who allowed me to get up and preach my first sermon on a Sunday evening. I start thinking of all these brothers and all these sisters that made a way to help me to get with the word that belongs to God. And it wasn't that I was becoming like Brother Foster or like I was becoming like Sister Brown. They came from a different generation than I did. They came from a different time than I did. They were taught things that I probably wasn't even taught. But listen, I just want you to know, young people, you don't have to worry about anything, because when you get with Christ, Christ is going to shape you to be more and more like himself. That's what this is designed to do, is to shape our character to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Listen, you're all different. You're all special. You all have different talents. And all of these things come from God. But what God wants to do, God wants you to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after him. And church, I want you to know, listen, this whole thing is designed to make you become more and more like Jesus Christ. Somebody says, who is Jesus Christ? I tell you who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is love. Christ wants you to become more loving. Who is Jesus Christ? Because he's sitting on the right-hand side of God, and I can't see him. So who is Jesus Christ? Well, I give you his appearance. I give you what he looks like. He's love. He's gentle. He's kind. He's forgiving. Listen, he's understanding. Church, he's merciful. Oh, he's graceful. Oh, my goodness, he is a lot of things. Let me give you another one, amen. He is long-suffering. That's one we don't like to hear, amen. He is long-suffering. Let me help some married couples out this morning, amen. He is long-suffering. Let's turn the word around, all right? Suffer long, amen. That's Christ, amen. And Christ will help you to suffer long with each other, amen. We have to suffer long with our parents. We have to suffer long with our teachers. We have to suffer long with our church members. We have to learn to suffer long with this world. How are we going to reach the world if we don't become like Christ? How are we going to reach this world if we don't come like Christ? Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. All right. Well, as we bring this lesson to a close, truly, the Bible teaches us, for the word of God is quick and it powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Church, what we need to understand is that, listen, at one point we were dead in our trespasses. The church of Christ have to stop fighting with each other, pointing out each other's sins. Amen. That's just a battle, a game, should I say, that I just don't want to be a part of. Amen. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As I point out your sins, you can turn around and point out mine. Amen. But we are here because perfect Jesus loved us, died on the cruel cross on Calvary, shed his blood that he may purchase the church. So we have been bought with a price, and our body is not our own. And yet, I just want us to know that, listen, the word of God is able to save us, deliver us. It's able to keep us united as the body that belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we have to do great works in this world. What a wonderful opportunity we have to save ourselves from this untoward generation. And truly, how do we do it? Well, we keep doing what we've been doing, and that is allow God's word to penetrate in our hearts and our mind. And God is going to do what God is going to do. Amen. Let me help out real quickly as we bring this lesson to a close. Listen, Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Church, I just want you to know that, listen, the body is the church. The church is the body, according to Colossians 1 and verse number 18. And so then when he says that, listen, Christ is the head of the church, the savior of the body, what we need to realize as the body of Jesus, we need to continue to allow Jesus to be the head of this body. If Christ continues to be the head of this body, then Christ will be the thinking of this body. And it's amazing. The way I used to think, but now taking on Christ, I don't think that way anymore. Racism that was in my heart, God has cleansed me of that racism. Listen, the hatred that was in my heart, God has removed that hatred from my heart. Church, I just want you to know the problems and issues that I've had with even myself, low self-esteem, having a problem with the fact that I was 5'7" and a black man. I just want you to know. You put on Christ. When you put on Christ, when you allow Christ to be the thinking of this body, he will change everything that's going on in this body. I mean, we're talking about emotional problems, problems with nerves, just nervous wreck. Church, I just want you to know there was a time when I couldn't go on an interview and look a man in his eyes because of the color of his skin. Church, I want you to know, but when you put on the mind of Jesus, when we allow the church, when the church continues to allow Christ to be the head, the thinking of this body, I just want you to know this body is going to go where Christ wants this body to go. This body is going to do what Christ wants this body to do. This body or this mouth is going to say what Christ wants this mouth to say. And listen, this is what he said in 1 Peter. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him minister according to the ability that God gives. Amen. We need Christ to be the head of this body. And that's why I love the church. I have to end, but I love the church. The church doesn't move by manipulation. The church doesn't move by being forced. We don't use scare tactics. We're not trying to put fear in people. We're not trying to pull people's legs or anything. But it's a living organism that is moving based on love. And it's because you're wearing the mind of Jesus. It's not based on money and titles and all these things. It's based on love. It's based on love. And that's because we are wearing the mind of Jesus. All of these members in this building are working together to be one body of Jesus Christ. No matter what your race is, no matter what your gender is, no matter status quo, but yet because of the mind of Jesus. So we are a living organism based on love. Isn't that beautiful? It moves based on love. I was convinced at a young age of the Church of Christ, because I understood how it was started, why it moved and how it moved. But it was moving based on love. That's awesome. Amen. That's awesome. Let me just, as we're about to bring this to a close, let me applaud you. Let me applaud all these members showing up. Number one, 8 o'clock, okay? 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. Hey, man, this is awesome. Very inspiring. Very inspiring. But let me applaud you, because the young people being able to see this. See, when I sit at the table, when I preached, I had to do it for a smaller crowd than this, a lot smaller. But these young men and young women, they're able to see this every week. This is so powerful. And they know at a young age that it's based on love. It's based on the love of Jesus Christ. How do you know? Because they see so many organizations, so many different things, and they understand why people finally, because that's a big question in the mind. Why are these people here? Why are these people inspired to be here? Why do these people come? Why do these people do what they do every day? It's always a motive. And the motive here is because I love Jesus. That's all right. Amen. That's all right. Y'all, this is a ministry within itself. Amen. Helping our children to become witnesses unto this world. Amen. Well, I have to end this sermon. I tell you, y'all can see I like preaching. Amen. I like preaching. Amen. But it's time to bring this lesson to a close. Amen. We got a 10 o'clock coming in, don't we? All right. All right. All right. I tell you, that's something to get used to for me. Amen. But yet, the plan of salvation is first, we must hear the words, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. After you hear the words, now we need to believe. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. After we believe, we need to repent, which means we need to change. Change our mind so we can have the mind of Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 11:30, at a time of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Young people, don't get it twisted, amen. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What a wonderful decision you have made. After repentance, which means to change our mind, then we need to confess the sweetest name given to us in mortal tongue. Matthew 10:32, therefore, whosoever shall confess me before men, him also will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. After this, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That word damned once again means condemned. Condemned. No man can condemn you. Christ was not even ordained to condemn you. But you condemn yourself when you don't believe in the word of God. As we stand to sing the invitational song.